Let's start reading in verse number 13, Ephesians chapter number 3, and verse number 13. The Word of God said, "Wherefore does I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." How many of y'all are aware there's a lot of God's people fainting in these days? The pandemic. A whole lot of God's people fell by the wayside during that pandemic. They got their eyes off of the Lord. They got their eyes on the problems. And they let fear lead them instead of love. The Word of God said, "Perfect love casteth out fear." Amen. Then the Word of God said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Aren't you glad God's got a family? And you can't join that family. You've got to be born into that family. I'm glad I've been born again. The Word of God said that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Is there anybody here besides me that would confess that over the last couple years, you found yourself a little bit weak along the way at times? You found your faith a little bit weak. Found your desire a little bit weak. But God said He would strengthen us with His might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. And then the Word of God said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. You know, if you read that in its context in verse number 18, it's still making reference to the love of Christ. He wants us to comprehend the breadth of the love of Christ and the length and the depth and the height and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll tell you something tonight, beloved. If you're full of anything except love, you're not full of God. Amen. You get full of God, you'll love God's Word. You'll love God's people. You'll love sinners. And you'll love the Savior. The Word of God said, "Now unto Him that is able to keep," "now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to stand in this place. Lord, I realize tonight, our Father, that people are tired. It's the middle of the week. Many are working. I realize, Lord, that many of our bodies are wearing out, Lord. But Lord, we've come tonight. We've come hungry. We've come asking You, Father, to feed us. We've come asking You, Lord, to lead us tonight. Help us, Lord, tonight in the service. Lord, I pray that You'd make us more like Your darling Son. God, that You'd help us tonight, that we might, our Father, be able to go forward, Lord, in this battle that we're in. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. I pray You'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been talking about glory in the church. A couple of messages now on Wednesday night. We looked at that time, that it's time for glory in the church. We looked at all the scriptures in this chapter that make reference to time. I'm not going to go back over all of that, but it talked about a dispensation. It talked about an eternal purpose. And then the Word of God said, now. Now is the accepted time. Now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And then we talked about the marks, how that God marks glory in the church. It's marked by fellowship. It's marked by the Father. It's marked by faith. It's marked by forgiveness. Amen. I'm telling you, in other words, the Bible said there's evidence
among God's people when God is getting glory in the church. You're going to see some evidence, some things that are on the inside that come to the outside. And tonight, this is probably the most important of the three messages. I want to look at the recipient of glory in the church. The Word of God said unto him. Beloved, listen, it's all about him. Years ago, I heard an old preacher say this. I'd give him credit if I could remember who said it. But the words stuck in my heart. He said, God will make much of the church that makes much of Jesus. I tell you tonight, we can't make too much of Jesus in our church. We can't make too much of Jesus in our homes. And I tell you, it'd be a happy day in America if we get back to the place where we realize as a country, we can't make too much of Jesus. Unto him be glory in the church. It's all about him. I'll show you some things tonight. Before I do, I want to give you a few verses of scripture just by way of introduction. Turn back over to Romans, please, chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 36. This is what the Word of God said. For of him, and through him, and to him. Boy, I like that, don't you? That's a good hymn in one verse, amen. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. But you can't beat that. The Word of God said it's of him, it's through him, and it's to him that we should give the glory tonight in the church of the living God. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 27. You probably know this verse. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 27. I believe it's important tonight to see the Word of God. The Word of God said, to God only wise, in chapter 16, verse 27, to God only wise be glory. How do you give God glory? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, his darling son. Say amen. There's a lot of people that want you to believe we all worship the same God, but honey, if the access to that God is not through the darling Lamb of God, you're worshiping the wrong God. Amen. If your Savior's dead, you're worshiping the wrong God. Amen. Look at Hebrews with me for just a moment. Chapter 13 and verse number 21. The Word of God said, unto him be glory in the church. Who's the one that's supposed to receive all glory? Who's worthy of all glory? His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. His name is the one where the Word of God said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is the exalted name. Amen. The name of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13. And listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you getting out of that text right there? I'm going to tell you something. Listen, Paul said it like this when he wrote to the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, in our hearts tonight, if we're not saying it with our mouth, we ought to say, glory to God, he's still working in my life. He's still working on my life. He's still helping me tonight to be a help to somebody else. I was there while I go praying with Miss Francis in the hospital bed. And I just whispered to my wife, I said, honey, is that the throw? We took some of our people, a little basket, and just a $10 throw. And Miss Emma, her daughter said, you got to pry it out of her hands to wash it and dry it and give it back to her. It meant a lot to her. And there Miss Francis was with that $10 throw. I'm telling you, you don't have to do a whole lot to be a blessing to somebody. Just mind God. Amen. He'll help you to be a blessing. He's working on us to do his will. He's working in us. It's well-pleasing in His sight. And it's all through Jesus Christ. And Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews. He's saying here, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the one that's worthy. Turn to Jude just a moment. The recipient of this glory, the one that will receive glory. You remember time and time again in the Word of God, people would go to bow down at an angel's feet, and the angel would say, "See thou do it not." Amen. You know what that angel realized? I'm not worthy of any glory. I'm not worthy of any worship. I tell you, it do a lot of men good, amen, to realize it ain't about men. It's about God, amen, and it's about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, at Jude just a moment. I want to look at a few verses here, starting in verse number 20. The Word of God said, "But ye, beloved," we wouldn't be the beloved without Him. "Building up yourselves on the most holy faith," we wouldn't even have faith without Him. "Praying in the Holy Ghost," we wouldn't even have access to the Father without Him. "Keep yourselves in the love of God," we wouldn't even know that without Him. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life," if it wasn't for Him, I'd still be out in this sin-benighted world, living for myself, living in sin, not even conscious of the fact that He's coming again, and I'm going to stand before Him in judgment one day after a while. But He came where I was, so He gets the glory. He gets the glory tonight. Word of God said, "And of some have compassion." I remember this. I share this with you, Brother Jason. Years ago, the men, I say this humbly, they loved us. We'd go in there, and we didn't go in there and preach to them like as a bunch of dogs, but we went in there and let them know, amen, that we was just an old sinner that God picked up out of the muck and out of the mire. And there was a tendency. There was a tendency. You get to know the men a little bit. There was a tendency for them to make more out of the preacher than they needed to make out of the preacher. So I would stop once in a while and I'd tell them. I'd say, "Fellas, if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the one living on the inside of me, I wouldn't have gotten that car and drove 600 miles. Amen. I wouldn't be here preaching the Word of God to you. I'd be with my family. And all of you could go to hell if it wasn't for Him. He lives in my heart." And the Word of God said, "Some have compassion," making a difference. Beloved, listen, He's the reason we can have compassion on others and make a difference in somebody's life. I say this tonight, and I say it humbly, but sitting right back there, Brother Jim and Sister Marge, is that God's done more. Don't get me wrong. But if 9 years of ministry was just about those two precious people, it would be worth it all. I said, if it took 9 years just to make a difference in one couple like God has made in their life, it would be worth it all. Some have compassion. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, we're looking at glory in the church. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You remember years ago I preached the message here, are we pulling them out or are we pushing them in? The dear brother preached on stumbling blocks last night. I'm going to tell you something right now, if your life is a stumbling block to sinners, you're pushing them in, Brother Gary. Amen. If we're not a stepping stone, we don't need to be a stumbling block. But if we're a stepping stone and helping people and pulling them out of the fire, it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. I tell you tonight, Brother J.W. is in heaven. He wanted, God led to come here first and start the church in a little old building, Bushong, I think is how you say it, Brother Ralph. Did I say it right? There's Brother J.W. There's Brother Long. He was involved in that. Then along comes Brother Jack. You say, "Pastor, Bible Way's got a great heritage." Yeah, But I'm going to tell you something right now. They ain't one of those men that I mentioned would want you bragging on them. They want you to say, give God the glory. We're still on the hill. And we need to give God the glory. He's the one that's worthy. Watch what he said. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment, spotted by the flesh. Now look here. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. You want to know why I ain't done fell flat on my face? Why I'm not already out of the ministry? Unto him that's able to keep you. He's the one that deserves the glory tonight. Watch what the Word of God said. Unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Not only that, but to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Watch this now. Oh, praise God. I'll give you a little something right here, just a little rabbit trail I'm going to run. But I wondered, when I got to reading a text like this, present us faultless. Present us without spot and without blemish. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I'm talking about physically and spiritually. I see the blemishes. I see the spots, Brother Craig. But how's he going to present me faultless before his presence? How's he going to present me without spot and without blemish? It's gardening time. The beans in our garden's already up about that high. Brother Jim said his ain't up yet. He didn't pray hard enough. Amen. As a matter of fact, we were in a hurry when we planted ours, and it was 2 or 3 days after it before I remembered to pray over it. That's the truth. We were in a hurry. But you know, all you can do is put it in the ground. If it gives you any beans and any taters and any squash and any maters, God has to do it. Amen. What's wrong with praying over it? But anyway, it's that gardening time. And years ago, God let me see something. I hope this will bless you. If you've heard it, just hang on. Somebody else ain't heard it. But God reminded me of what it was like the night I got saved. Listen, I didn't know my feet were even touching the ground for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, I was pure. I was clean. I was just like a feather floating through the air, buddy. I'm telling you, it's so good to be saved. And the Word of God teaches us, beloved, listen. You know, you get you some green beans and you pick them and you string them and you do that stuff and you break them. If you got more patience than I don't do that stuff. It makes my chest feel like it's going to blow up. Amen. I know how to eat them, but I ain't going to sit on the porch a half a day breaking beans when I got a young wife, amen, that loves to do it, amen. I tell you something, she puts them in them cans. I had some today. You know, when you get them out of them cans, you know what you get? You get green beans just like the day you put them in. How long is the Spirit of God going to seal us? Till the day... Amen. Yes, sir. When he breaks that seal, he's going to get me out just like he put me in. I know, beloved, it's the precious blood of Christ that covers our sin. But listen, the spots and the blemishes along the way will not be remembered against me. Because when he breaks that seal, it'll be just like the day. Just like the day that he put me in. He sealed us till the day of redemption. That's a blessing, ain't it? Watch what he said here. He's going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And then he said this, to the only wise God. I love these words, our Savior. We were teaching on prayer to the teenagers Sunday morning. Our Father, who art in heaven. Brother Junior, he's my Savior. But ain't it good when you and I can get together and we realize he's our Savior. Amen. To the only wise God, the Word of God said, our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, God wants us to give him glory in the church. The recipient of that glory is not a preacher. It's not a deacon. It's not a teacher. It's not a mommy. It's not a daddy. The recipient of that glory is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look at Revelation with me, please. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. The Word of God said here, John in verse number 4, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. We wouldn't know either one of those. We wouldn't know grace without him. We wouldn't know peace without him. Then the Word of God said, from him. That's where grace comes from. From him, which is, and which was, and which is to come. How many of y'all believe he's coming tonight? I'm going to tell you something. He's coming. You know what he's coming with? Power and great glory. Amen. We might as well give him glory in the church. He's worthy tonight. Watch this now. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. I want you to notice this statement, beloved. Unto him, glory to God, he deserves the glory. Unto him, number one, he loved us. Now listen to me. Listen to me. He loved me a long time before he washed me. See, a long time before I ever loved him, he loved me. Let me say this. There's a lot going on in the news right now about abortion. I want to tell you something tonight. God loved you before you were ever conceived. You say, now, Pastor, that I don't know about that. Well, how about this? The Word of God said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Is that what the Word of God said? Did the Word of God say this? The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, I'm going to tell you something tonight. What love. What love. Unto him that loved us. And then he come along. He got our attention. The Spirit of God convicted us of our sin. We realized how filthy, dirty we were. If that's never happened in your life, then beloved, you ain't never been saved. Conviction. Conviction of sin. I'm the sinner. He's the Savior. Ain't no bargaining going on. Say amen. Somebody said, come and give your heart to God. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're lost, you ain't got nothing to give. He wants to give you life and give it to you eternal. All he wants you to do is yield. Yield to him. He speaks to our heart. And we agree with him. And beloved, we come to him. And he washes us from our sin in his own blood. I want to ask you something. I think this is one of our problems. Y'all help me tonight. I think some of us have been saved so long that we've lost the freshness of it. I think when we pray, it don't matter if we was a youngin' in a bedroom or a youngin' at the altar or if we was in our teenagers and we realized, beloved, or if we was in our early adult years or if we was later in life like Brother Jim and Sister Marge. It don't matter when it was, beloved. If it happened, it would do us good. Every once in a while when we're praying, just say, Lord, I'm going to thank you for loving me. I'm going to thank you for washing me. Let me just give you a little tidbit right there. Honey, we've had to be washed along the way too. Somebody help me. We wouldn't be in fellowship with God tonight if it wasn't for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God said he loved us. He washed us from our sin in his own blood. And then watch this now. And hath made us. You say, Pastor, how can the Bible say that? Made, that means it's done. Well, I want you to understand something tonight. In the mind of God, it's done. He's already made us kings and priests. Look what the Word of God said. And the Word of God said, kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, Every song we sing ought to be unto Him. Every prayer we pray ought to be unto Him. Every message we preach ought to be unto Him. Every lesson, Brother Gary, we teach ought to be unto Him. It ought to be pointing people to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, they also which pierced Him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Let's look at a couple of more scriptures here tonight. I'll be back in Ephesians, but it won't be tonight, probably. We're just trying to introduce the thought tonight about the recipient of this glory. There's only one. I can't wait. I'm not fussing or picking at the songwriters that will talk about face to face, but I'm going to tell you something I believe. If I understand what happened in John's life, he fell at his feet. But I believe, beloved, there's going to be a desire in our heart when we see him to fall at his feet, to put our arms around his feet, and to worship. Worship. Can you imagine? I don't mind worshiping, but there's just all kinds of hindrances. There's flesh. There's pain. There's that mess that many of us have back there in our lives. And old Slewfoot's always wanting to dig up. But can you imagine standing before him and all the hindrances are gone? Honey, it's going to get on. Mark her down. It's going to get on. Romans chapter 15, verse number 7. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 7. True, glory to God. I don't know how it is out there, but it's good up here. Romans chapter 15, verse number 7. He's so good to me. What in the world? I got my pages stuck together. There we go. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 7. I want you to see this. Brother Mike, you just come in Sunday morning. I never met you before Sunday morning. But if I was to shun somebody that come through that door just because I didn't know them, watch this now. The Word of God said that sometimes you're entertaining angels unaware. Y'all know that, don't you? Amen. But let me show you something. This will help our church. And our church has been bragged on for this. Brother Larry, have you met Jeff Houseride? Jeff sits right behind you there. Have you met him? He's been gone for a couple Sundays. And I got him on my heart. And I called and left a message. He called me back today. They've been out of town. There ain't nothing wrong. But he said these words today. He said, Pastor, I believe we found a home. And by the way, he and his wife Jackie, I can never remember her name, Missy, but God just helped me to remember her name. Amen. Never remember her name. I have a hard. I told him, I said, when you come back with your wife, I said, take a Sharpie and write Jackie on your forehead and I'll act like I know her name. That's what I told him today. Amen. God is so good. The church has done a good job. We can do a little better at times. But they've done a good job. And that makes a pastor thankful. But let me ask you this. I'm going to read the verse. Let me read the verse. The Word of God said here, verse number 7. It said in Romans 15, 7, wherefore receive ye one another. Brother John Nade, none of us got no right to stiff arm anybody that comes through those doors. Watch what the Word of God said. The Word of God said this. It said, wherefore receive ye one another, how? As Christ also received us. Why? To the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let me teach you something that my pastor taught me when I was a young preacher. I never had heard this philosophy before. He sat me down one day. He would go to North Carolina and go different places and leave me with the church, Landmark Baptist Church, for both services. People would say to him in the meeting where he was preaching, "Who's preaching for you today?" He said, "Oh, I got a young preacher in my church preaching for me." They would say to him, "Are you crazy?" That's what they would say. "Are you crazy?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "God's got his hand on that boy." My pastor's responsible for the first church I pastored. They called him and wanted to know if he would be interested in the church. He went up and looked and talked to him, kind of felt things out a little bit. He said, "No, I'm not your pastor, but I know where he's at." They said, "Well, tell us where he's at." He said, "He's sitting on the front bench in my church." What a pastor. He said, "Now I'll let him come up here and preach if y'all treat him right." He said, "If you ain't going to treat him right, tell me now. He can stay where he's at." That's what he told him. I like it, amen. I was too young to go to bat for myself. I needed somebody to go to bat for me. But the Word of God said, "Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Here's what my pastor told me very early on. He said, "Rick, I'll always trust you." He said, "You don't have to prove yourself to me. I'm going to just trust you." He said, "Until you prove otherwise, I'll always trust you." What a blessing. What a blessing. Receive you one another the way that Christ received us to the glory of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 31, back over the pages just a little bit. Receive you one another. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 31, look what the Bible said here. That can't be right, can it? There ain't but 21 verses there. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23. Praise His name tonight. Unto Him be glory in the church. Revelation 21 and verse number 23. I got one more text after this and we'll be finished. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23. Look what the Word of God said here. It's talking about heaven now. If you're saved tonight, you can say it's talking about home. The writers in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, they realized this world was not their home. They're just pilgrims, strangers passing through. Well, when we get home, the Word of God said, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God." Honey, I tell you something right now. When we get home, we're forever going to be reminded about these words. "Unto Him be glory in the church." He's lighting the city. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Look what the Word of God said. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Never have to replace the bulb. Never have to pay the power company. Amen. The Lamb of God is the light of that city. I'll show you this, and I'm done. Acts chapter 7 tonight. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is being stoned. And I thought this was pretty good. The Bible, Stephen preaches one message. The Word of God said that they were cut to the heart. We know who done that. The Spirit of God took the Word of God and cut them to the heart. And by the way, we need more of that. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm saying this humbly and reverently. But it's not just sinners that need to be cut. The Word of God said judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I believe tonight God will get the glory. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he being, what's that next word? Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to be full when it's leaving time? I believe the Apostle Paul was full. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But then he said this, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I believe Paul left this world full. I believe Enoch left this world full. Don't you? Watch what the Word of God said about Stephen. He being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. What did he see? The glory of God. Let me say this to you. The Word of God can record this. It's sad. We're living in a sad day. But there's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday and never see the glory of God. They wouldn't have recognized it when they saw it. They wouldn't know what it was. But the Word of God said, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God. Let me tell you something right now. Anytime, anywhere you see the glory of God, Jesus is going to be real nearby. That's what the Word of God is teaching us in Ephesians. Unto him be glory in the church. He's the recipient. The Word of God said he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, behold, I see heavens opened, the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. When God's glory is present, you're not going to find a bunch of people biting and devouring one another. Here is a preacher, Brother Craig, that's praying. He's full. He's looking into the heavens, and he's praying God will forgive those that just thumped him to death with a bunch of rocks. Think about that. Years ago, God allowed me to see a contrast in the Word of God. Some of you have heard this. The contrast is this. Samson died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemies. Stephen died with his eyes on Jesus, praying that God would forgive his enemies. I don't know about you. I believe Samson's in heaven. I know he is. Read Hebrews chapter number 11. But he got tripped up along the way. He didn't die full. But Stephen, they cried with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They cast him out of the city, stoned him. Witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name, here's the first time he's mentioned, was Saul. Let me ask you something. Did Stephen, seeing the glory of God, did that make a difference in Saul's life? You better believe it did. An old preacher said this, God's people die well. How many of you can attest to that? You've had an old saint of God, maybe a mom, maybe a dad, they die well. The Word of God said they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I believe God got the glory that day, don't you? I've never studied it out. I don't know how many days after that, but it wasn't many days after that. He's going to get some more glory on the Damascus Road. He's going to get him an apostle. Amen. Give us much of the epistles to the church. I'm just glad you come tonight.